Ladies and gentlemen, this is Russ from Loud and Opinionated, and I was paid to be here. Oh, wait, I'm not getting paid? Oh, then why am I doing this? Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I was told that I'm not getting paid, but I'm still going to do it because I love the man. Ladies and gentlemen, the only man that I know that can incorporate the Peanuts comic strip with MMA. I've never seen anybody do it, but he does it really well. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian the Truth Little.
Broadcasting live. Good evening, Blockhead Nation. Thank you for tuning in once again to the show. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little. Hope you guys are enjoying your Easter weekend. Just to talk about a couple of things that are on my mind, just to give you a little bit of entertainment tonight. For those of you that will be attending church tomorrow, as you are quite aware, our Savior has been buried in the tomb, and we will see the next day that He will be risen. But until that time, this is a moment of confusion for the disciples. This is a moment of, what do we do? And I'll save that for my scripture of the day. But as we get into those that are interested more in the Easter side of the colorful side, the part where you go out with the kiddos, those that have kids, and go out and hunt Easter eggs. Well, there is a belief over here at the Blockhead Mansion that the Easter Beagle takes care of all this. We believe that the Easter Bunny has been retired for a very long time, and that the Easter Bunny has taken over and has been in full swing every time this time of year comes around. If you don't know that, there is an episode called It's the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown. Now, if you're not familiar with it, basic layout of the story is Marcy has no idea how to make colored eggs, and Peppermint Patty doesn't do a great job of explaining step by step what she's supposed to do. So she does everything from fry the eggs to actually put them in a waffle iron. I'm not making that up. She waffles the eggs, she toasts them, she puts them in the oven and roasts them. Well, finally, after the third purchase of eggs, Peppermint Patty puts her foot down and says, "You have to boil these." Again, she leaves her unsupervised, and Marcy decides to crack the eggs inside of the water, making egg drop soup. So that is a nuclear disaster in the beginning of the show. And everybody is worried about where the eggs are going to come from this year. But at the end of the episode, we have the emergence of the infamous Easter Beagle, another one of the many metamorphoses that Snoopy goes through as a character in the Peanuts. So if you haven't seen this already, I highly encourage you to go and see the different storylines that are in the Easter Beagle episode. Not really sure if it aired this year. I really doubt that it is. But there also has been something I've been wanting to share since I got back on here and flied solo by myself. If I haven't done this publicly, I'm going to do it now. I apologize to my friend, Brother Sin, mostly just making sure that he was okay. Maybe he had unplugged. There was a lot going on in his life. Well, let's just say that he is having a Sinir family Griswold type of experience that I'm sure when he's ready and willing, he will come on, he will lay it all out for us, and he'll be coming in white hot whenever that time comes to explain all the endeavors that he's had to face on the family vacation that they went on. But I'm sure we'll get the details of that in due time. I look forward to having him back on the show. And also, whenever I started looking into a couple of the updates the last couple of weeks, since I had Ed on, since I've had several guests lined up one after the other, there was something in particular that came on YouTube that I really wanted to discuss and take a minute with. I am not a participant in any way in the world of skateboarding. But those of you that know anything about skateboarding, the most recognizable figure, definitely arguably a household name, when you think of skateboarding, who is the first person that comes to your mind? I would hope, if you're over the age of 12, that the name that immediately comes up would be none other than Tony Hawk. Well, Tony has a video that's been put out on YouTube as of a couple of weeks ago that was a little bit of an emotional ride along with him, too. It looks like because he is aging, he's decided that he wanted to do one last trick that happened to be one that was very near and dear to his heart, and he wanted to do the infamous stunt known as the Ollie 540. Now, if you're not familiar with that, that is an entire, more than a 360, it's an entire spin in the air, and then he's able to actually land on the skate ramp. So he had to take several attempts in this, including some where he messed up some of the equipment, that he lost his board several times in the air. But finally, when he's able to land the skateboard in an Ollie 540, in a almost picture-perfect one, for a man who's at age 52, he actually breaks down and has his emotional moment and just thanks the fans for going along with him for this journey. And that was a very touching for me personally. But then I started wondering, is there ever a time where we have seen skateboards being used in the Peanuts comic strip? I don't mean to pull it away too much from Tony Hawk. If you want to go watch this on YouTube, it's very easy to find. Probably one of the first ones you're going to find in the stream about him taking his last big attempt. It's worth watching. But skipping away from Tony Hawk, just to say, is there a time where the Peanuts actually participate in skateboarding? My answer is they absolutely did. Most people would think that Schroeder was only good at one thing, that he was one-dimensional, that he was only good at playing Beethoven on his piano. Well, that plus finding creative ways to ignore Lucy as she continued to annoy him. But that would be true, but he also was a pretty good skateboarder. And it wasn't just him either. It happened to be him and Pigpen and Shermie. Now, there's an episode called Charlie Brown All-Stars where everybody is fed up with Charlie Brown and their team keeps on losing. The baseball team keeps on losing. And finally, they just decide it's a sinking ship and they go on a hiatus. They go on strike. And at one point in the show, you can hear Vince Guaraldi playing the piano in the background. You can see Schroeder, Shermie, and Pigpen and another one of the extras going through town on their skateboards. You can actually see them do several tricks. One does a handstand. One does a kick and kicks the back end up. One of them does the 360s on the ground. So it's quite interesting. And then they tried doing jump rope with the girls, which that's a disaster as soon as Pigpen goes in and tries to get involved in the mix. But nonetheless, the answer is absolutely. There is skateboarding that is in the Peanuts comic strip. You just have to go and look for it. So making sure that I've tied in, if you haven't watched the Easter Beagle episode, then please go check it out. It's worth watching today if you have nothing better to do. Also, if you have time, there's going to be a live version of Loud and Opinionated with Russ's one-year anniversary. That should be an interesting discussion to have. But while we're on it, Chris and Russ, on the last episode of The Burnout, brought up something to my attention that I like to go ahead and address now. And it's nothing serious, it's just to add a few extra moving parts into the discussion. Since we've already made him famous in the podcasting world, I guess I'll help you out. The gentleman that was discussed was none other than classmate of ours, Mr. Brandon Stedman. Well, they were discussing how all three of them would be riding in the car, but somewhere in there, that Brandon reaches over and pulls the emergency brake. Now, before we go any further, I have to insert myself into this because YFB has actually been in the same Kia that Chris from the Burnout used to. I used to ride in the Burnout Mobile a couple of times too. And Brandon Stedman happened to be one of the gentlemen that would ride in the car as well after high school was out and we were just being young guys and just, you know, getting a little taste of freedom and playing our music. Well, to add a few more details to this, Brandon was pretty notorious for irritating Chris by changing the music that was on his CD player. I'm sure either he would skip songs or he would actually pull the CD out entirely. But I remember this very well also that Chris, in the Burnout Mobile, Chris was notorious for running stoplights. Sorry to put it out there, but that had to have been something that must have been irritating Brandon because if you listen to the last episode of The Burnout, which you would have to do for this to all make sense, you listen to how Brandon, as they are picking up some speed, coming up to a stoplight, Brandon reaches over and grabs the emergency brake and just flips it. And, of course, Chris is screaming at the top of his lungs. You just can envision this. And the car is screeching, and he says that he actually stretched out his emergency brake cable as a result of that. But it makes me go back and wonder, okay, since Chris was very notorious for running all of these stoplights, it finally had to have been one of those moments where Brandon just said, enough's enough. Also, there were times that he would decide he didn't care for the music that was being played in Chris's car, even though that car rightfully was his. You know, he decided he didn't want to listen to Eminem, so he would clearly either eject the CD or try to find something else on the AM/FM radio to listen to. That's a few more extra attention to detail from the Blockhead's perspective, being actually in the same Kia that the Burnout used to drive. So we all have our good experiences with that. And either way, you won't understand these references if you don't go back and listen to the last episode of the Burnout. That's what we do over here at the YFB Network. We take care of each other. Zig Ziglar once said, you can have anything you want as long as you help as many other people get what they want. So I'm always glad to help out the guys on the network. Chris with the Burnout, Russ with Loud and Opinionated, who's going live tonight. I just wonder, with the influx of people that are going to be coming in, this is something that only Russ would understand, me saying this at the end, at the middle of the episode. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Dadgum, Russ. You got a problem on your hands. Now get out of the car and push. Blockhead Nation, thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. This show is sponsored by KitCaster. Guys, did you know that having a podcast is a great way to grow not only your personal brand, but your business? Here's the secret. We all want to feel connected to brands we buy from. And what better way to humanize a brand than through sharing your story on a podcast? That's where KitCaster comes in. KitCaster is a podcast booking agency that specializes in developing real human connections through podcast appearances. Whether you're an expert in the field or you just have a unique story to share, it's time to explore the world of podcasting with KitCaster. Go to the link at kitcaster.com/blockhead to apply for a special offer for listeners of this show. That's kitcaster.com/blockhead. You'll find that in the blog. You'll find that in the notes for today's show. Let's get back to the episode. Our scripture of the day comes from John chapter 21, verses 4 through 10. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it, and it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped from work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, for about 100 yards off. When they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Now, this is a loaded story of the personality of Jesus. I just want you to envision this, okay? The Savior has been buried, and the disciples are going, "What do we do?" And the answer is simply, "Let's do what men know how to do. Let's go fishing." Well, it's so interesting in this story. This is a personification of Jesus to where he could have announced who he was, but he stood on the shore like a tourist and yelled the most obnoxious thing you can to experienced fishermen. "Hey, y'all catch any fish yet?" You can just see how annoyed they probably were with him. And they go, "No, we haven't caught anything." And his response is, "Throw it on the other side." Now, there's no logic to that at all. If there's no fish on one side of the boat, there's not going to be any on the other side. This is just him showing them the same guidance that he has since the beginning, but he's having a little fun with this. He is being lighthearted. And what's so funny is, when you look at it, and Peter clearly jumps out of the boat like Forrest Gump did, going towards Lieutenant Dan, and then when they finally all get ashore, you got all this fish that you can't even pull in because of the multitude. But he's already got a fire that he's already made some fish. He's already made them breakfast. And he says, "Come break bread with me. Let's have some breakfast." I mean, do you see how personable Jesus is in this story? I would hope that gets you excited as we celebrate tomorrow that our Savior has risen, for those who are listening to this episode. And there's so many things that are coming up to go ahead and flip this into MMA, since I know some of y'all are just waiting for the second part. Like, come on, blockhead. We came here to hear some MMA news. Well, breaking news that I know of would be that Bellator apparently has parted ways with one of the most infamous commentators from the UFC to Bellator, known as Mike Goldberg. It looks like that there's going to be a transition for Bellator going into Showtime, and one of the names that's not there happens to be none other than Mike Goldberg himself. I mean, we do have guys like Josh Thompson that are going to be on it. Looks like even AJ McKee, who is a very good fighter in Bellator MMA, is going to be one of the commentators. When they go back to the Mohegan Sun, it looks like we're going to still have John McCarthy, who has transitioned into commentary. But I can't get too irritated about that. If they've parted ways, or if his contract is up, does that mean we have an opportunity to see Mike Goldberg come back to the UFC? I don't know, but that's exciting for me just to say, all right, that doesn't mean that Mike Goldberg is done. But, you know, can he take a break? Of course. I've got nothing but positivity on the end of this one. If he's not going to be in Bellator, then it'd be nice to see him return to his home territory. I mean, once again, come back to your old stomping ground, Mike. We'd love to hear you again at commentary. And to even give the new fresh coat of paint that everybody knows about, oh my goodness, Francis Ngannou, the new heavyweight champion of the world. Now, this has been a hard blow for us over here at the Blockhead Mansion. All of us think of Stipe Miocic as a heavyweight who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of UFC heavyweights. This is a man's man who will get into his firefighting uniform and get out at the end of the day and then go to the gym and train in his fight shorts. I mean, this is a guy that just epitomizes what you should be appreciating in a champion. But this is clearly Francis Ngannou's time. I'm sorry, this monster from Cameroon has now got his chance. And every single one of the options that he's got, they all work. There are three major money-making options for Francis Ngannou as the champion. You could have Derek Lewis who could step in, since John Jones wouldn't want to step away from the price that he's put on the table. John Jones works, regardless if I like the guy or not. Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis works. Stipe versus Francis 3. It works. It works just as well as Conor versus Dustin 3, which is going to be happening soon. I can't look at that and go, is there something that I should feel like punching my gut from just because we happen to no longer have Stipe as the champion? No, I'm not going to sit here and kick dust in the face of the guy who's already been defeated, but the guy is not going to be sitting at home feeling sorry for himself. He'll be at the fire station. He'll be doing all of his stuff that he's doing through Twitch. He's going to continue to sell his merchandise. This is a guy who, once again, can take the time to reevaluate some things. And if he wants to go and step in with this monster that is the new heavyweight champion, more power to you. When it comes to Dustin versus Conor, once again, the trilogy just works. So anyway, this new fresh coat of paint is very positive for the heavyweights to be able to get some more eyes on the product. I'm sorry, respect doesn't sell tickets, and that's proof with Stipe Miocic. Francis Ngannou might very well be the saving grace that we need for the heavyweights at this point. This is a huge success story. It is huge that we have a possible trilogy between him and Stipe, and we already have a pronounced trilogy with Dustin and Conor for July. Because Dustin gets the payday, and Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler are going to get the title shot, which earlier I had been informed through Ariel Helwani that was going to be Justin Gaethje versus Chandler. I don't really have any back information for that one. I don't have any other underlying information to share with the Blockhead Nation on that. All I can say is I see more positivity coming out of this. I see many opportunities for those who are not MMA fans, like some of you in the Blockhead Mansion that want to learn more. This is your chance. I also appreciate, even though I don't particularly care for the guy, I appreciate somebody who can step in so quickly into next week's main event. I'm sorry for what happened to Darren Till. I'm sorry that we have a collarbone that's broken. But you're going to have a person who will step in there with a very dangerous Marvin Vettori, and that's none other than Kevin Holland. On very short notice, after a recent fight with Derek Brunson, I can't get too mad at Kevin Holland for answering the call. I can't get mad at him saying, I'll take the fight. Just know that there's a lot of positivity coming out of this. All of this is exciting. So if you are not an MMA fan, if ever there was a time for you to jump on the bandwagon, come on board. There's room for many aboard this train. Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum is going to be an exciting fight. UFC 261, Masvidal versus Usman 2, one of the most athletic welterweights of all time versus a very dangerous Masvidal who's had a full training camp, is an exciting fight. We've already got another announcement of another co-main event that will go for 5 rounds for the first time to accommodate somebody who is a 5-round fighter, who is a Patriot-style fourth quarter fighter. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But I will also mention here as a free plug that whenever Sam Alvey fights next week, I will be going on Facebook Live to analyze the fight for you, just get you guys involved. You should all be getting behind Smiling Sam Alvey. That is my guy. All of us over here at the YFB Network and the Blockhead Nation are supporting you, Sam, all the way. We can't wait to see the results for this fight. You should have won that last one that became a draw. And nonetheless, we can get into the co-main event for 262. So the other headliner is looking like none other than Leon Edwards and, get this, Nate Diaz. Now, if I think of any fighter who just doesn't get their way, more often than not, Nate Diaz gets what he wants. If you just look at the, you look at the layout, you look at the groundwork of what Nate Diaz has done so far, regardless if he's going to win this fight or not, there must be something that he sees in Leon Edwards to step up. If you remember last time he talked, when he talked about Jorge Masvidal, he mentioned that, I only took fights that I thought were worth my time. He fought Jorge. Now, for some reason, he sees something in Leon Edwards. And that is some saving grace for Leon Edwards, who's just coming off of an eye poke. There must be something there that Nate Diaz looks at and says, I want my chance with this guy. But how they got a co-main event, not for a championship, to be going 5 rounds in hopes that we will see the Nate Diaz who shows up in the 4th and 5th rounds, but unfortunately I worry about him with the paper for skin that he's got these days. Are we going to end up with another doctor stoppage? That's always going to be great to run back. But nonetheless, Nate Diaz has now inserted himself into it. We've been waiting. Where has this guy been? When's he going to show up? He decides that it is worth not stepping up to get Conor McGregor for the 3rd go-around, but there's something worth stepping in the cage for with Leon Edwards. Guys, this is exciting news. If you haven't been able to follow my train of thought here on all these fights, I would hope you know my answer is simply give the UFC a chance. And even give Bellator a chance. We just had a fight where Pitbull won in glorious fashion, and it looks like the talk might be eventually for Pitbull to face the very dangerous AJ McKee. So there's a lot to be looking forward to coming up into the summer for these fights. The UFC is definitely going in a good direction. Jump aboard. I'm pretty sure Justin Gilley is singing my praises right now and saying amen to all of this. Regardless of who you get behind, whether it's a fighter or it's a fight that gets you hooked, the UFC is a wide open range. It is a wild, wild west, and it has something for everybody. Come on board. Check it out. I'll be joining Russ later on tonight for his live for his 1-year anniversary. Until we see you next week, this has been your favorite Blockhead. We'll see you next week. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.